Good afternoon, Lou Verney and Thomas Perry. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's fun to have these book chats with authors we don't get to see on a frequent basis. How are you, Lou?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here. It's great to be here with Tom, especially. So this is the best part of my day after a day of writing. I look forward to having some actual social contact.
And Tom Perry, I get to see you actually more often than I usually get to see Lou, but not in July. So how are you?
I'm fine. We're hiding and, keeping masks over our faces and stuff. It's very exciting.
I'm happy to say that finally Doug Ducey, our governor, made mandatory masks available today ahead of the incoming rally. So we have been open for shopping on a very limited basis, but we're going to shut it down now for a couple of weeks because the stuff has risen so in Arizona. But you know what? Writers lead sort of naturally socially distanced lives anyway, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But Joe and I both got sick after doing a bunch of traveling in January and February. And so we've been locked up since about the second week of February, which is a long time.
Have you been more productive?
Yeah, but more productive in the sense that, your next book is going to be ready a month early. Big deal. It's no big accomplishment.
I've asked because I've had a variety of answers from authors, and some find it too hard to concentrate, and others, like Ian Rankin, for example, are like 2 years ahead.
Oh, wonderful.
So I think it depends so much on, your own personality and also your situation.
Well, maybe. I think, writing is basically having a big pot boiling all the time, and you keep adding things to it, and eventually a bunch of them start to fall out, and then you write it down.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. I think when it first hit, back in March, I had for a couple of weeks a hard time writing when there was just so much information coming in. But then I just sort of forced myself to stop watching CNN so much and sort of disappeared into the book instead of, letting my energy being, distracted elsewhere. And now it's a good way to kind of escape some of the things that are going on.
Yeah, that is. That's true.
I mean, the real world is probably more comfortable than the real world at the moment, for sure. So I asked you to join me today because I wanted to talk specifically about the Hammett Prize. Lou was the winner of the Hammett Prize last year, and Tom, in 2011, you were a nominee for your novel, The Informant.
Right.
Yes. But also, you guys are both Edgar winners. So Tom for his first novel, The Butcher's Boy, and Lou last year for November Road. So I know that you've got that funny statue, the little yep. Edgar guy. Got it right there. That's the Hammett statue, right?
Oh, the Hammett. I don't have the Edgar with me.
Okay. Tom, is yours nearby? We don't actually have
it. No, it's actually, it's had a hard life, the Edgar. At one point, Joe decided to clean it with, a normal cleaner that one would use for dusting. And the words started to come off of it. So it's been kind of wrapped in a towel and put in a drawer. So we'll always have it.
I heard a rumor that if you break your Edgar, Marjorie Flax will replace it. Like there's a lifetime sort of guarantee for the Edgar because it's so breakable. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I like that rumor.
I like it too, but it's, I want the original, absolute,
So since you started out, Tom, winning the Edgar for your first novel, what effect do you think that had on your career? Did it jumpstart things? Did it bring you more attention? Or did it just make you feel great that your peers recognized you'd written this wonderful book?
I think I was surprised by it. I didn't expect to win an Edgar, and I wasn't even going to go to the to the Edgar Award banquet. I live in California and I had a job and so I said, I'm not gonna go to that. And I'm glad I got nominated and that's nice. But then I, people started to call me up from my publisher and say, you have to go to this. But I had one of those jobs where if you are away, you know, you're likely to come back and somebody else's name has been painted on your parking space. So I really felt it was kind of too much of a risk. So, eventually they said, you must go. I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you must go. So I kind of got the hint and I went. But I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have any idea what, sort of the general group of mystery writers is like, or anything like, or that there was such a thing, really. And, but the first effect that it had on me was that I was wondering whether I would get another book published. And Suzanne Kirk, whom you know very well, said to me, she was my editor, and she said, you won the Edgar, and so what that does for you is that you have a career now. And so I would say that's a pretty big deal, that suddenly you have a career when you were a complete outsider. So I felt great about it.
So Lou, you won your book, you won your Edgar for not your first book. What effect did it have for you?
Well, I won my Edgar in 2016 for Long and Far Away Gone, but I was actually nominated in 2013, and that had a pretty big effect. Like, just getting nominated for an Edgar put me on the map in a way that I hadn't been before. Like, I think I remember right away a lot of people who I'd asked to blurb my book were suddenly willing to blurb my book, and I don't blame them at all. Like, you get so many books to blurb. It's nice just to have, like, oh, Edgar nominee. It sort of puts you to the top of the pile, hopefully. And I remember it just was a bit of illumination on my career that hadn't been there before, that just made it a little bit easier, both in practical and creative terms, to keep doing the job. In some ways, it was like nice for me to sit down every day knowing, like, oh, okay, I'm not, if I'm having a bad day, that doesn't mean I'm a terrible writer. It just means, I can keep going. And it's terrible to put any kind of weight on sort of things you can't control like that. But it actually really did help kind of give me a boost of confidence early in my career.
That's I agree with that completely. I mean, that's really the experience that I had. I went from nowhere, from zero to one. And it made a difference. And it's since then, I've thought a lot about awards, and I've often thought maybe we shouldn't actually give awards. What we should do is just do the five nominees, because having a list of five really good books is a very useful thing. It gives us, everybody will read them, but having it narrowed to one becomes sort of a kind of fiction.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Having benefited from it, I don't want to pull the ladder up.
Yeah, exactly right.
The Edgars are awarded by the Mystery Writers of America, and it actually is a peer review. It's not a fan-based award. So before we come back to The Hammock, which is what I really wanted to talk about today, let's wander around the world and talk about a few of the other awards, because they're all different. In Australia, for example, the Ned Kelly Award is the big crime award, and it's named after a famous outlaw. I really liked it.
Right.
Whereas in Canada, their award, which is the Crime Writers of Canada, a presentation by them, their award's called the Arthur Ellis Award, and hilariously, in contrast to Ned Kelly, is named after Canada's official hangman.
Right.
Sweden, for example, goes with the glass bell, and I have no real concept. I know it's a prestigious award, but I don't know why it's called the glass bell or whether it's a peer review or not. Do either of you?
No,
I don't.
Okay. In France, they have something called the roman policier, which is French for, crime novel. And I'm not sure exactly what that takes. In England, the Crime Writers Association of Great Britain does the Dagger Awards. Yeah. And they're a lot like the Edgars, but they have this super Lifetime Achievement Award called the Diamond Dagger. Have you guys seen the Diamond Dagger?
No, I haven't seen it. I know of it, but I haven't seen it, the actual dagger. They get an actual dagger?
Well, I've been to several Diamond Dagger Award ceremonies. Suzanne Kirk, Tom, whom you mentioned, was the editor of Robert Barnard, and when he got his award, Susan Moldow of Scribner sent us to the UK to, you know, fly the flag for the publisher in the face of the Diamond Dagger. Cartier actually shows up with their president, and they have this beautiful dagger with a giant, you know, diamond and the whole bit. And they present it, and then they take it home to Cartier and put it back in the vault. And the winner, if it's a guy, gets a tie pin, and if it's a woman, I think I have this right, she gets earrings. So the actual award stays with Cartier, which is probably no surprise, right? And, you know, it's, I think the Diamond Dagger is fabulous. And this year's winner is one of my authors, Martin Edwards. So I'm particularly pleased for him because it's, you know, it's for a whole body of work. It's not for a specific book. And the mystery writers have one of those too, don't they? What do they call it? Grandmaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
So over the years, there have been some amazing grandmasters. I can still remember Robert Parker was actually at the poison pen when he found out about it. And he went around smiling at everybody and he said, just call me Grandmaster Bob.
That's funny.
So what is it about the Hamlet Award, guys, that makes it really distinctive? Luke?
Well, it's... You know, I mean, I think they gear toward literary excellence in crime writing, which so they sort of position it a little bit differently than some of the other crime awards by foregrounding what they refer to as literary excellence. And I kind of like that because I think, you know, too many people who don't read a lot of crime fiction dismiss crime fiction as sort of not literary or not well written. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, there's so much great writing in so many different corners of crime fiction that I like that there's an award that sort of calls attention to that aspect of what we do.
Also, it's Canadian and American, which I think is an interesting thing, you know, because just sort of thinking of us as a continent rather than a, you know, sort of distinct creatures. I think it's good. I was looking at the past awards, the past Hammetts, and particularly because I was looking for my own name to figure out when that was that I was nominated but didn't get it. And I noticed a number of things. I mean, just as Lou says, the writers are terrific. The books that you look back on and see the five each year, you realize those were among the five very best books written that year. You know, they really have been pretty good at their picks. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with that. Except, you know, the one thing that also was sort of an anomaly is poor Michael Connelly was nominated four times in the 2000s and never got it. It seems kind of
a lot
of empty banquets.
Yeah, right.
I like a statement they made when they presented the award to Jane Stanton Hitchcock this year for her novel Bluff, that they didn't look at genre, that, you know, they looked across the whole spectrum. And that reminds me, I forgot about the Thriller Awards. I should have mentioned that the Thriller Writers Association here in the States also has an award tier, but they are pretty genre specific, although I don't know how broad a brush they use for thriller. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Mm-hmm. I don't. It's always kind of confusing to me. I mean, I think the I was long listed this year for the Silver Dagger, which is for thrillers, and like I'm not sure I consider my book a thriller. It definitely has thriller elements, but I think it's a fairly expansive. And I was nominated for an ITW award too, and so I think it's not just Lee Child. It's not just sort of those kind of thrillers. I think most of those awards have an expansive definition of what a thriller is, which I think is great because there's so many different kinds of thrillers. If it keeps you turning the page, to me, it's a thriller.
I actually think that crime fiction itself is a hugely broad umbrella. I mean, you can go back and look at Dostoevsky or Les Miserables, or you can look at A Cozy, which is a very specific kind of book, but they all fall under this very large umbrella we call crime fiction.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, Tom, you like to mix things up. I mean, I think of you primarily as a caper writer, you know, The Butcher's Boy and all these other great books, but you like to explore a lot of things.
Well, you know, I've been at this now for 40 years. and fortunately, I was blessed with a short attention span. So, you know, I'm sort of happiest doing something new each time. And that has kept me amused all these years. So it's sort of fun to expand the envelope a little bit if you can. So.
Yeah, I'm the same. I agree with Tom. I'm the same as Tom. Like, I love that it's such a big tent for, you know, to get on the crime shelf. You can do almost anything. You know, I mean, I've written mysteries, detective, capers, historical thrillers, and it's just like you can kind of go wherever the spirit moves you in a way with crime fiction. That I feel like it's a liberating genre rather than a restricting one.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that's great about things like awards is that it happens so long after you've written the book that it doesn't affect your writing at all. It doesn't make you, right, you know, have that sort of horrible overconfidence that that would kill you, you know?
So. Yeah, exactly.
So I looked at the list of past winners, and it's an amazing list. We have Elmore Leonard, Margaret Atwood, James Lee Burke, Stephen King, Lou Verne. Alice Hoffman. I mean, it really is spectacular when you think about the range of talents and voices that the Hammond has embraced. And I like the international aspect. But Lou, you just let me know something I didn't know. This award that you and Tom and now James Stanton Hitchcock we were talking about is the U.S. and Canada. But you think that it also is happening in Spain, right?
Yeah, I was in Spain on a book tour in January, and I met a guy, we're friends now, who was the winner of the Spanish Hammett Award. So it must be in other countries as well. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I was surprised too, but isn't it an International Crime Writers Association? I can't remember the exact title. But I thought that international was in there. So maybe, in fact, they do make awards in other countries and other languages.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but it's I know for sure it's in Spanish.
So Jane's book was described by the Hammett Committee. I really love this. I'm her editor, so I get to be excited, right? Because she's a Poison Pen Press author. Started out by saying that Bluff included the best qualities of Dorothy Parker and Agatha Christie. And amazingly, it's based on a true story. Did you know that when I know you both looked at it. Did you realize that in fact that this was really the story of Jane's family?
No, I didn't. Absolutely not.
I did not either. I mean, like, it's too good a story to be real in some ways. Like, I'm like, wow, this is, it's surprising to hear that.
Yeah. Her mother, who was an actress, and it's a fascinating story. Her mother, who was something of an actress, married a very wealthy guy. And they got, she got suckered in by some version of the guy in the book, you know, a financier who was really a big fraudster and siphoned off all their money. And Jane was so outraged by the whole thing. She spent years getting this guy prosecuted. His name, interestingly enough, I'm trying to remember, said, it can't be Carl Rove. I actually knew who this was, but somebody like Carl, anyway, some guy we already know. And eventually she got him arrested and put into jail. She was able to prove this fraud, which he had perpetrated on all kinds of famous people who were too embarrassed to ever speak up.
Wow.
And as a consequence of all this, she learned to play poker as a way of keeping sane. And that's why the book is structured like a hand of poker, and why the woman in the book, after she shoots her gun there in the restaurant in New York, why she has this whole poker network.
That's funny.
That's great. That's a great element. It really is. That's really a good thing, this thread to have in that book, because it's so much the opposite of the life that they're all living, you know, sort of in front of everybody. You know, she has this secret. She has other people. Mm-hmm. Great.
I think of it as a revenge thriller. What did you think? Lou, did it strike you as, you know, powered by like rage and revenge? I mean, it's funny, but at the same
time. Right. I mean, that's what's interesting about it. That's what's so interesting about sort of books like this, is it can combine pieces of different subgenres and become its own thing, its own very original kind of take on a particular subject. So that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it really was fun to read, which is, you know, I guess in a way that's the highest praise there is that it's fun, that you know, you would actually do it for pleasure. I started out thinking, you know, I would take a look at it. And I took a long look all the way through it, really almost in one sitting. I really liked it a lot. And I, you know, there were several things that it kind of prompts you to think about. And one of them was, you know, I don't know if what your experience of doing, of editing it was, Barbara, but I was thinking about the narrator. You know, the narrator knows a whole lot of things that the narrator isn't supposed to know in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first person narrator knows things that, you know, events that she wasn't a part of. She knows what was said in a room that she wasn't in, correct?
Yes, I can't.
What that does is it's like a clue that she has in a separate relationship with somebody that was in that room.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
So it's, you know, it's fun. I mean, it was really artfully done.
Yeah.
It was challenging, I think, to, you know, to use the structure of poker to tell this story. And I don't really get credit for it. Jane herself rewrote it after she submitted it. And we talked it through. And then she went back and rewrote the book. And I think that she did an amazing job. And as you say, that's the real problem, is what is she keeping from the reader? Who's actually in the room? Who knows what? It's not a classic unreliable narrator kind of a story.
No, she's completely reliable. Yeah.
So Lou, did it suck you in? It's not.
Yeah, really- definitely. Yeah, definitely. I'm just thinking about what Tom said, and it's really interesting. And it just like, it's a way, it's like, I love books where they're, where there's an organic relationship between the structure and the content in a way. And this is not just I'm gonna use poker as this sort of superficial way to structure the book. It's like, it's part of the DNA of the book. You know, it's like, it's part of the fun of the book. And I think that that's what kind of elevates books like this.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point. I will tell you that Jane has become an almost professional poker player. She has gotten so good at it that sometimes I would send her comments and she wouldn't answer because she was off at a poker tournament.
Well, if you go to BoucherCon, you know, the big crime writing, mystery writing convention every year, there's always a poker room and it's always pretty full and they're pretty good in there. Like I always go look in, but I never play because I'm good enough to know that they'll take my money. And it's always kind of interesting that a lot of crime writers are good at poker, and there's probably something to that.
I thought one of the things I really like, sometimes, you know, you really have to work hard for a title for a book, a title that really works for a book. But I think Bluff is perfect for this one. I really, you know, it encapsulates the whole what's going on all the way through it.
It's also a fair tip-off. I mean, you're looking for the bluff.
What's the,
you know, and I think that's, that to carry that off and have you not know immediately what the bluff is really a work of art. I mean, it's really smart. She did it very, very well.
Well, that's a compliment coming from you, because one of the hallmarks of your books, Tom, has always been their amazing structure.
I love structure. I admire it when she did a great job.
Now, let me ask you guys, what are you working on? Let's power towards your next award. What are you working on, Lou?
I'm really weird about talking about things I'm working on, not because I think anyone will steal the idea, but because I'm very superstitious that I'll curse myself if I talk it out too much. So I'm just working on a new novel. That's, I think it's kind of a thriller, but I'm not sure what it'll be until I kind of am done with it.
And Tom, you've got a book coming out in December, so you must know what your book is about.
Well, I know what that one's about. The one that's coming out in December is the fourth book in the Butcher's Boy series, and it's called Eddie's Boy. So it tells you sort of both the early life and the present of the person who was called the butcher's boy when he was working.
How many years has it been since the butcher's boy? You're jumping a whole lot of years in this.
Yeah, it's 40 years. It's the first one was in whatever it was, 1982, I guess, 81, 82. And the next one was 10 years later. And the one after that was 20 years later, you know, later than that one. And then this one is, I shudder to think, I guess another 10 years. So it's, is that up, add up to 40? I don't know. You have to go through editing to find out. But yeah, it's been a long time. Every once in a while, I wonder about him and I answer my own question.
You know, what's oh, so you just now? Want to go back and visit him?
Yeah, I just want to go back. Or else by getting older myself, I understand something that I didn't understand when I was younger about the story and about the character. So I go back and investigate.
Lou, do you like to revisit the characters that you've written?
No, I never reread books at all, but I like Tom's idea. Like, I think that's a really interesting idea, because I know when I reread a book I love from 20 or 30 years ago, I always have a very different kind of take on it, just because I'm different. And so I love the idea of revisiting books over the decades and sort of letting them evolve with you as a writer. That's really interesting to me.
Yeah, so is there anything you've read recently, aside from working on your own stuff, that you'd like to recommend to people?
Oh, wow, you caught me off guard with that. I read, I read My Dark Vanessa, which is, I thought was a really good book. Is the most recent, probably, crime, mystery, suspense novel I read, My Dark Vanessa. Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind. My memory's not so great, so I do a list of all the books I've read, but I don't have it at hand right now.
Well, I know I unfairly caught you on the hop. So, Tom, how about you? Because you're wonderful. One of the things I love about you, Tom, is that you're always happy to be blurbing books.
You know, the problem is that right now what I've been reading, I haven't been blurbing. I haven't liked it very much. So, you know, there's... I can't really think of what the last thing is that I would say was wonderful. I don't know. I'm stuck.
Well, as I said, I asked you an unfair question. So I could assume that you would both recommend Bluff, right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Lou, yeah, I did, but I just thought I'd reinforce it. Lou, you actually have the statue, which I meant to mention. Can you hold it up again? So this is the Hammett Award, and is it really Giacometti? It's a Giacometti style.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. It's a beautiful award, though. I love it. It's the Maltese Falcon on the head of Dashiell Hammett, and it's like really solid and heavy, and it's one of my favorite kind of things to have around the house.
Well, it's nice to have an award shelf. Anyway, thank you guys. I really have enjoyed catching up with you, and I hope that I'll see Tom. We'll be doing this again in December. And Lou, whenever you finish your book, I hope you'll either come to see us or we'll do this again.
Always.
Okay, great.
Thanks so much, Barbara. Thanks, Tom. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye.